Yeah, I have a question from one of the girls. Said
one of the sisters.
It said, "What does Romans chapter 5 verse 7 mean?"
Want to read it? Read it, Jesus. Yeah, read it. Well,
"For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet..." Can I use it? Can I wait to get another version? Because I can't read that word. "One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good reason, for a good person, one would dare even to die." Read the next verse. Okay.
But
God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
That's the answer. That's the answer.
And I think what's set before us is these contrasts, which are important for us as young people to understand, that God views these, our place, our position, in contrast to his place as a holy and a righteous God. And from a human standpoint, there may be someone who is an upright person that perhaps someone might say, "I'm willing to die for this person. They're such an outstanding individual." Then perhaps for a good person, who we might say is a good person. You think of Secret Service men that protect the President of the United States. They take an oath because they say this man is in the highest seat of government, represents the people. I'm willing to give up my life for that person. And they do. We remember Ronald Reagan was attempted assassination. Secret Service men and others jumped in front of the president and saved his life. But you know something, for a bad person, none of us are willing to give up our lives. But the Word of God is trying to give us this contrast. We are neither righteous or good.
We're bad.
But God commended his love towards us that while we were sinners, enmity at God, sinning against God, lawlessness against him, Christ died for sinners, for the ungodly. So and I want to bring us to the thought that Brother Chuck is bringing us forward to. This thought of, you had a thought, Brother John?
Is that we're at enmity with God.
Yes.
So we're in active opposition towards him, right? Not scarcely good,
right?
For a good man, someone, or maybe for a purpose or a reason. But he commended his love toward us when we were actively at enmity against him. He died for us.
Yeah. And I think continuing these thoughts of the contrast, that God sees things in two men. Two ways. Saved, lost, connected to Adam, or connected to Christ. Mm. As we see all under condemnation in Adam, for by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. We line up behind Adam in nature. And what is the result of that sin? Death, condemnation, judgment. But we bless God, and you know, we moved over this very quickly. We joy in God. Why? Because God has worked out the reconciliation in his Son for those who have faith in him. It gives us the ability to joy in God. I think it's in the book of Colossians, we give thanks unto the Father because he has orchestrated these things in his Son, that there is another man that is before him. And those that have faith in that work are justified by faith, justified by his blood, and we line up, as it were now, behind the man Christ Jesus, for whom all things have been made new. The offenses have been corrected or done away with. They've been settled at account. And now the free gift has flowed out. End of verse 15. It has abounded unto many. And it's not that it has abounded unto all.
That's right.
But it's the many who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It is true, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The whole world in that sense, the sin of the whole world has been taken care of. But there are only those, the quote unquote, the many, out of the world, who have appropriated through faith in the Lord Jesus that finished work and are now able to speak of receiving this free gift that now lines us up under the last Adam, the Lord, out of heaven.
I just would repeat verse 19. I just read it that Tony has brought us to. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Okay? And so moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, but we find where sin abounded, grace. Remember, we had grace yesterday. Grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned, that's past tense. Sure you see that. How do we know that, and I was thinking of this from the verse back in the chapter, in verse 14. How do we know about the disobedience? Death reigned. From Adam to Moses, before the law came in, death reigned. One after another after another. But here we see, in fact, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through Jesus Christ unto eternal life, grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So we end on this. If anyone has additional comments, make them, but it's going to bring them. If there's a question that we've missed, we want you to stop us, help us, slow us down, but we want to see the how important now, if you're saved, this next chapter is going to be. I put in the little comments on the outline. Many a young person has had great victory. Many others have had great failure because of not understanding and appropriating the truth given to us in the sixth chapter. We're going to ask you the question, what does baptism mean to you? We're not going to veer off into the various kinds of baptisms that you find in Scripture. That's not our purpose in this reading. If you want to talk with others about that, you can talk to us afterward. You can find books. But what we need to know, first of all, is what does baptism mean to me? And so I'll just start us with the question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? What do you think the answer is?
No.
Louder?
No.
No. And this is a resounding no from the apostle. But then the next question that somebody will say is why? Why shouldn't I? And this is the teaching we're going to get out of this chapter. We're going to find that there's a real change of masters in our lives. There's someone else that we're going to come under the authority of that one. And so he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Mm.